Hey, welcome everybody. Glad to have you here this morning as we celebrate the day of our Lord. Hope you say hi to someone. We'll give you some chances to do that as well afterward. We're going to get you going with a couple, three worship songs this morning. Good I've done, good never say, my debt too great, for deeds too pay. But God, my Savior, made a way, hallelujah, for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, hallelujah, for the cross, hallelujah. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love is won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love is won. To get that done a little too quickly. Skip a verse, Tim. Here we go. This is a great classic. He touched me.
Shame.
love has ravished my heart and taken me over, taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. Your love has ravished my heart, taken me over, taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. Wanna know. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I've faced. I want to know. Thank you. to pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart.
Thank you for worshiping with us. Please say hello to someone next to you as we get ready today.
Well, hey, good morning to y'all. If you're still talking, that's fine because I'm going to make the others do something. So here's the deal. We just got done with Thanksgiving, okay? And I had a friend of mine call me up, actually text me that morning, and said, hey, it's not gluttony if you pray for it, right? And so I then prayed for my 5 pieces of cheesecake. So that was amazing. Yeah, that's right. I made it. I get to eat it. All right. So, but here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. Because I think this is phenomenal. Do you realize at this very moment, at this very time, the same God that's holding up Mars together, right? Think of Mars. Okay, the planet we all want to go to someday, I guess. But the God that's holding up Mars is here right now saying, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. I just want to hang out with you. And that's what we get to do as a church. And so because of that, I think that gives us a little bit to be thankful for. And so what I want you to do is turn around to the row behind you. I know this is going to be awkward, but look at somebody that maybe are going to start being friends with now because you sit in the exact same seat every single time. And so just turn around to that person. Just turn around to that person and tell them something you are thankful for right now, this very moment. If you're in the back row, look forward. Yeah, I know. See, now here's the deal. Later on in the service, you're going to find out how you should just be doing that every day to somebody you know or don't know or the cashier. So we're going to talk about that later, but there's a couple announcements that we have for you guys this morning. And the first one is this. Just so we are good, clear, and everything. Last week I talked about the Salvation Army bell ringing. I have offered our church up to volunteer for ringing the bell next weekend, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so if you can just give about 2-hour chunk of time, even if you can only give an hour chunk of time to ring the Salvation Army bell down at Shopco, we would love you to do that. That sign up is in the information center, and so please go just sign up for a little bit of a block, and then what's going to happen is as the time goes, I'll kind of give you other times where you can sign up as the other churches may or may not be able to fill spots and all that sort of stuff. So be thinking about helping out with the Salvation Army because it gives us a huge opportunity to bless people in our community who are in need during the rest of the year. And so the next announcement I have is you guys need to mark your calendars. We're going to start from the furthest and work to the soonest. And so start marking your calendars for the Christmas program, the adult Christmas program coming up on the 8th and 9th. Of December, and so which is Friday and Saturday. And so here's the thing with that is, Becky, where are you? If we can get Becky a mic really quickly. Richard, do you want to grab that mic off that stand and run it to Becky for me? Would be amazing. Thank you. And so Becky's cantata this year is called Breath of Heaven. And so it's going to be a great program in which we get to kind of just come and look at the Christmas season a little bit differently. And so, hey, Becky, are there any other people that you may need to, well, we always need people to sing, which is fine, but are there any other, like, do you need angels, shepherds?
Angels and shepherds.
Okay.
I think I've got my three wise men, if the wise guys don't bail on me.
Okay. And so just a couple more. Hey, if you are an angel, just go and talk to Becky and just play the part and you'll be good. And so please go and talk to her. And then if you need any more singers, is it really easy to pick up? It's not too late in the game, right?
Oh, it's getting close. So if you want to do it, you've got to be with us today. Otherwise, there's too many nuances. Yeah,
okay.
I'm nitpicking the choir now. They can tell you. I'm
okay.
On them.
Awesome. Yeah. And so if you have an okay voice, you just decide to want to sing, just show up. Okay. I was singing in the car yesterday, a Christmas song, and definitely sounded amazing.
Well, you are Gabriel in our program. He is Gabriel. So if you want to see Seth with wings, it may be the only time.
Absolutely.
You need to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't sing. All right. So, but hey, would you please
go and
talk to Becky and just mark it on your calendar to be to come to those programs and support them. And then the next thing that I have on my list before I just turn it over to you guys is back on the information center, you'll see that we have a Christmas box back there. And last week, Joe Sabbath came to talk to us a little bit about his part that he's playing in the play about sharing the good news. And one thing that our church is going to do this Christmas season is we would like to bless the service members in our community. So the police, the sheriff department, the EMTs, things of that nature, the firefighters. And so if you would be willing just to send an encouraging note, things that you just think that might bless them, telling them thank you, maybe sharing the gospel a little bit with them. Hey, would you fill that out? Would you write a card, write a letter, doesn't matter. And back there, would you just drop it into that box? And I know it says sharing the good news. We're going to come a little bit further. And what we're asking people to do, you'll find out that day, is we just want you to do acts of service for other people, sharing the good news and being able to share Jesus Christ, the best good news there is. And so that'll be a place where you guys get to share with us as well. And so be writing those letters. Please bring them in. And so we have so much to be able to deliver. That would be phenomenal. And if there is a service member that you specifically want to write to, just put their name on it, and that would be awesome. Okay? Great. Are there any other announcements this morning? Okay, great. There's two announcements that I have for you guys. The first one is this, be marking on your calendar, looking towards the Ladies' Christmas program. That's going to be December 5th. Here at the church at 7 p.m. Ladies, you do not want to miss this. It's just a great night to start your Christmas season out. It's nice and peaceful and relaxing, and I think we've got some people sharing their testimony and all that sort of stuff. Marge is going to share her testimony and all of that. So please be marking that on your calendar, and then not only mark it on your calendar, but would you, I'm going to encourage each of you ladies to invite three people. Okay, each of you ladies invite three people. Just invite. They don't have to come. Just invite and see what happens. Go pick them up if they're not going to come. Okay, great. Awesome. Hey, in the seat back in front of you guys is 3x5 cards. Last week we had just lots of people traveling in our church going to different areas. And so I prayed for just a lot of people traveling. We prayed for just a lot of relationships even. It's a time of Thanksgiving, but that means that we sometimes have to go be with crazy Uncle Harry. And so those are just challenges in and of itself. And so we got to pray for that a lot. But if you would grab those 3x5 cards and that you would just write down a prayer request that you guys have, we would love to be praying for you this week. And on that, just take that 3x5 card and put it in the offering plate as it goes by today. And so we love, as a church, praying for you guys. I love coming on Sunday mornings as a body of believers coming together to pray. And so let's do that this morning. God, this is your church. These are your people. We are your servants. And God, as we just think about coming to church and what that means in terms of coming together and celebrating your glory, coming and celebrating how great you are and how amazing you you are and the things that you've done in our lives and what you're continuing to do even around the world and even this season, we start to realize that you came down. That ultimately, love is what won. And God, then you asked us to love others as we love you. And so God, as we as a church just come this morning, Lord, would you help us first to know you better? Would you help us first to be people who desire you above all things in our lives for the express purpose of loving your world? But in that comes hurt, our own health issues, our own problems, our own worries, concerns, things that happen to us, things even beyond our control. And God, we try our best to deal with them, to maybe even try to get away from them. But God, you are our shelter and our rock, and we can find peace in that and hope. And so God, when things are starting to weigh down on us, would we just realize your truth? Would we be grounded in you? And would we look towards your scripture? Would we look towards your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us? God, outside of these walls, there are lots of hurting people. And God, would you help us not to be a part of that problem? Would you help us to be that solution? That through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through what he's doing in our hearts, that we can be your ambassadors to give hope, to give joy, and to give peace. And so God, as we go about the rest of our worship service, would we worship you? Would you bless the offering we're about to take for your glory and not for ours? And God, would our hearts connect with you in worship? In your holy name I pray, amen. I'm gonna ask the ushers to come forward, but I don't do this very often and share kind of what I like, because then if I tell you what I like and then you go and you listen to it or something like that and you say, well, that was really horrible, I'm not listening to Seth anymore. I don't like to, but I decided as this week, as I was listening to Christmas music, because Thanksgiving happened on Thursday, so that means you can listen to Christmas music on Friday. And so I started listening to Christmas music, and there are two CDs that I absolutely love during the Christmas season. And so the first CD is this. It's called North Point Christmas. It's a phenomenal CD, and you can pick it up and listen to it and have fun. And the next one I'm going to let you guys sample, but it's a new CD that I just found this year called Shane and Shane Worship Initiative Christmas. And so I absolutely love their music. And so while we're taking offering this morning, here's a great song called Love Comes Down during Christmas.
Mercy on my brow. Still, my best is nothing less than filthy rags and emptiness. One drop of blood raised me from death, but you see me through your righteousness. And oh, how How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now
if you are 3 years old to third grade, you can head on out of here. And if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Acts chapter 28 with me, Acts chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 17 this morning. Last week we talked about the what obligation do we have in this life, and it's to love one another, and what does that look like? And I didn't go too far into what it looked like, except for, hey, are you coming from a place of love at all times? And this week I kind of want to get into actually maybe what that looks like a little bit in terms of how do we show this obligation of love. And so I'm really excited to read this piece of scripture with you. And I didn't know how I was going to fit it in because, of course, this is our second week in the Foundations book. And if you've been following along, you've already read this week. And so this just jumped out of the page to me in terms of what it looks like when we feel like we've got our plans together, but yet our obligation is love. And so let's read this. Starting in verse 17. If you don't have your Bibles, they should be. Look at that on the side screens. Here we go. 3 days after Paul's arrival, he called together the local Jewish leaders. He said to them, "Brothers, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Roman government, even though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors. The Romans tried me and wanted to release me because they found no cause for the death sentence. But when the Jewish leaders protested the decision, I felt it necessary to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no desire to press charges against my own people. I asked you to come here today so that we could get acquainted, and so I could explain to you that I am bound with this chains because I believe that the hope of Israel, the Messiah, has already come." They replied, "We have no letters from Judea or reports against you from anyone who has come here. But we want to hear what you believe, for the only thing we know about this movement is that it is denounced everywhere." So a time was set, and on that day a large number of people came to Paul's lodging. He explained and testified about the kingdom of God and tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scripture. Using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, he spoke to them from morning until evening. Some were persuaded by the things he said, but others did not believe. And after they had argued back and forth among themselves, they left with this final word from Paul: "The Holy Spirit was right when he said to our ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him. Let's pray. God, this is a lot to unpack, and would we just have it open up to us? Would we understand what's going on? Would we understand what you're calling us to in terms of loving our neighbors? Would it sink deep in our hearts so that we would understand and so that we would see and that we could hear this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you know me super well, but if there's one thing I'm really planned out for in my life, because a lot of people think that I fly by the seat of my pants, which I do, which is absolutely true, but the one thing that I'm definitely planned out for is my retirement. I cannot wait to stop being up here. I'm joking. You know, we all think that, right? We all think we have a retirement. I'm not joking about my retirement. I have a retirement, y'all. Okay? I know. So anyway, I have this retirement. The other day I was thinking about this. What happens when the end of it all comes? What happens when at age 45, I'm going to retire, okay, 65? It's supposed to be a joke. None of you laughed, okay? I'll be here until I'm about 80, all right? So at age 65, when I finally retire, and I thought about that going, wait a second. 60, I'm not, no, whatever. You guys, you don't understand my investments. They're skyrocketing. So anyway, that's not the point. The point is that at the very end of all of it, I think to myself going, really? Retire? What does that look like? And then I started thinking about what happens with all the in-between stuff. What happens with all of the things that we think are maybe going to happen? If you guys say 75, that means that I have about 60 more years until I retire. And I look at it and I just think to myself, what about all the life that happens in between there? I mean, at any given moment, right? I might lose a kid. At any given moment, I might find myself having some really horrible medical issues. My wife may be diagnosed with cancer. I may go through some really hard times where friends may leave me. Or I'm called to something and it doesn't go the way that I think it's supposed to go. And at the very end of all of that, how do I deal with it? Because if you know anything about Paul and this story at the very point of his life where he finally gets to Rome, he's already been beaten, he's already been flogged, he's already been stoned. At some point, he's also like been taken out and they've declared him dead. Okay, he's already been in jail. He's already been shipwrecked 3 times by the time he finally gets to Rome. And he sits there and he goes, it's not done. It's not over. I still got lots to go. And I think to myself going, well then what does that look like in terms of my retirement? Because I think to myself going, man, if I'm looking at retirement and only earthly things, I have missed the boat. I am completely missing out on what God is really actually inviting me to do. And I begin to wonder that what if we just never actually talk about retirement ever again? That it's I'm going to continue to do over and over what God has called us to do. But that the thing is that you are in the exact same boat. That as people who live in America, yes, we have a retirement. At some point, you're going to stop doing what you're doing. But I think sometimes we also look at that as a way to go, we stop doing almost everything. We get to go and I was with my family this week and one of my brothers-in-law said, I could see myself going on cruises for the rest of my life. right? And I think to myself going, oh, great, awesome. And then I responded to him, you can share Jesus, I guess, on the beach. And he goes, yes, I can, by the person who's bringing me my Mai Tai. And I just think to myself going, well, wait a second. Like, maybe are we a little short-minded? Because at this point, Paul in his life is probably, he's set up churches. He's helped people see Jesus. He's done so many things. At this point, as a Roman citizen, he could probably say, I'm good. I'm good. I'm done. And so I look at it and I go, this brings me so much hope in this idea because he knows who he is and he knows what he wants to do. And I want to read something with you that I think is pretty phenomenal in terms of what compels him. And so in Romans chapter 5, it's going to be up on the side screen for you as well. And this is another long passage, but it's okay. Stick with me because there is a point to all of this. Because all of you at some point are going to go through ups and downs, joys, sorrows, just mediocrity maybe, just the normal life. I hope not mediocrity, but just the normal life. And I think about this, and I think this is what compels Paul over and over again. Starting in verse 3, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. I sometimes wonder if I have this character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Right there, the hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And I'm going to encourage you guys to read the rest on your own. Verses 12 through 30. Or 12 through 20, sorry. But I think about that and I think, wait a second, is that not absolutely gorgeous? Would you not just want to put your life towards that and not worry about ever retiring, but just only worry about how God takes care of us? Because there's a long distance between us and retiring. And yet, it's so short. And I wonder, my question is, that I started all of this out is, what happens when things don't go our way then? When we think that it's supposed to go this way and we read this scripture and we go, wait a second, what if I've been looking at this all wrong? What happens now? What now? Or we get to a point where we've gone through all these trials and we've gone through these tribulations and we've just gone through life and now we're at a point of going, what now? I think Paul gives us an amazing encouragement. Because I think every single one of you sitting here right now should be asking that question. What now? Last week I was told that I'm supposed to be obligated to love people. Okay, so what now? How do I do that? What's that process? What's it look like? And I think Paul, in this very chapter, at the very end of Romans, gives us a beautiful example. Not Romans, Acts, gives us a beautiful example. And so if you're still with me and you're going to take notes with me, the very first thing that I want you to write down is this, is in answering the question, what now? Our response is we get to invite. We get to invite. Acts 28:17, the very first thing. He's not even a week into it. 3 days into it, he says, hey, he calls together the local Jewish leaders. He calls together just people. I have a group of friends, and some of you may know just by telling this story, and I didn't ask them to be able to share, but they'll forgive me afterwards. We have a group of people who just simply pick a night just to go down to the Busted Knuckle and sit at a table and invite people to sit at their table with them just to be able to share stuff. They invite people into what's going on. We have another group of people who simply are always looking out for new people they don't know and say, I want to invite them over to our house for dinner. They've had some really awkward nights, I'm telling you, where they like are the only ones asking questions the whole entire time. But they're inviting people into their life. There are some people that I know that they're just really good at, hey, I'm going to go for a drive. You want to come with me? And they instantaneously know just to invite them into their lives. That, by the way, that freaks me out. Okay, if you invite me to come into the car with you, I will, for the like 10 minutes before that, write down what we're supposed to talk about and figure out how the conversation is going to go just in case there's silence in the car, because I can't stand it, okay? I do not like awkward silent pauses. See, that's awkward. But I wonder, I have a question, is do we invite people to be a part of our lives? Not to quickly just say, we're going to make you Christians. No, but invite. Are you willing to open up some of your life? Are you willing just to, wherever you're at, go, I need to invite that person? Or do you get in a rut and go, no, I'm comfortable with who I'm with. It's okay. There are some of you that sit on this side of the room right here, and you can look over here and not know a single person or a couple people that aren't over there. Hey, go invite somebody, right? There are some of you over here who maybe don't even know these people. Invite somebody. Or hey, wouldn't it be just shocking if you went to, like, say, Ace and went up to somebody and said, hey, what are you doing for dinner tonight? Well, come over to my house. That'd be really weird, but it would be awesome. I just think it would be so cool to start actually inviting people into our lives. And not having an agenda, but just to invite them. And I know that Paul has an agenda here, but I wonder, is your life open to invitations? Or is it closed off? Because we want our comfortableness. We want our retirement on the beach. And then after we invite them and they actually come, the very next thing, if you're still taking notes with me, is this, is that we get to share. We get to share. Verses 18 through 22, he sits there and he tells them the whole entire story of why he invited them to his house. Hey, this is what happened. This is why I'm here. Because I've been accused, but then they didn't find any fault in me. And so now I'm here. I'm gathering you guys because I'm going to tell you what's going on. Marge Forum's not here, so I'm going to talk about her. One of the things that I love about Marge Forum is that she is never afraid to tell you what's happened in her life. If you ask that woman, hey, just share something about your life, she has never been afraid to go, let me tell you about Jesus and how he changed our house, how he changed my life, how he changed how I view things. And when we invite people in, we simply just get to say, hey, this is why I invited you. Not to be pushy. Hey, I want to share something with you that's important to me. This is not a pyramid scheme. This is not getting them to buy the next fad or anything like that. This is, no. The very first thing is we've got to come from a place of love. We invite them not because we need them to do something. We invite them because we love them. And because we love them, we share the best news ever. Romans chapter 5, why would we not want to share that? That yet, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you, that he said, I want to be friends with you. This is something that's shocking to me. If we laid bare all of your thoughts right now in front of everybody in this room, how many people would want to be friends with you? I'm telling you, none of us would be friends with one another. But Jesus says this. He goes, nah, you're worth it. I'll do it. I'll die. I'll become your friend when nobody else probably would if they knew everything about you. And I think that's really interesting to me is that we are coming to this point of going, we need to invite people so that we can simply love them. And as we share with them how Christ has loved us, that's the most compelling story I've heard. I'm telling you. And sometimes, as we share, sometimes people will go, well, I just don't care. Actually, we've heard about you, but we haven't gotten a letter. We've heard about this great story, but we just don't care. And it's funny to me that Paul is like, that's all right. It's okay. I don't hear in the story where he gets super upset and he gets super mad and he says, oh, you're so horrible. No, I get to this point of just hearing him going, okay, but I just wanted to share. It's okay if you don't like this. It's okay if you don't like the story. It's okay if you don't want to hear about my life, but I just need to tell you. And if you walk away from all of this, that's okay with me. Some people will do that. Yeah, you go to that evangelical church. Huh, I don't need to hear about it. Don't push your religion on me. But I wonder if we in our lives ever get to the point of sharing. Because multiple times in my life, and I'm a pastor, I've gotten to the point where I want to say something, and I want to share, and I want to say, hey, do you, and then I go, they're going to think I'm crazy and make fun of me. Or they're going to say, don't push that religion on me. Don't do that. And I don't share. And this is where, when I said it goes by too fast, because here pretty soon I am going to be at a point where I'm closer to death than I was. And I'm going to wonder, did I take every opportunity, or did I squander it away because I was concerned about what people thought about the God that I followed? Do you share? Then the next one, I love this part right here, because we don't get to talk about this much in church, because we sometimes think, if I've shared, then that's it. Nothing else I can do. The next thing is what now is we get to reason. We get to reason. In verse 23 through 25, a time was set, right? So now they, at some point, either they've rejected or they say, hey, I want to hear about it. But later on, a time gets set that they actually get to talk and converse with one another, not to be mad at one another, but actually talk. A time was set, and on that day, a large number of people came to Paul's lodging. He explained and testified about the kingdom of God and tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. See, there's a difference now. Paul told them his story, but now he's going, let me take you back to the scriptures. He gets to reason with them, and he gets to tell them, this is what the scripture said way back when, hey, the Messiah, they said he was coming, and I'm just going to tell you that it's him. It's Jesus. Guys, the people that have been, the Messiah that has been talked about for ages in the scriptures is now here. And I think that as we get to reason with people, we get to say, this is why I'm different. Because the Bible says this, and I'm encouraged by it, and the Bible is helping me change my heart. And I want to reason with you that maybe in the time of what you're going through, the Bible can help you. Man, taking it back to Scripture over and over again, and not defending God through what He's done in my life, but actually defending God through the Scriptures. Because to be honest, my life is a horrible defense for God. But using the scriptures allows God to speak for himself. And I think I love, no, I don't think, I know that I love the fact that he says, hey, just let you know, in verse 26, just like the prophet Isaiah was supposed to tell these people, you are just the same. I think sometimes when we use scripture and use truth, it's going to offend people. It has to offend people. I'm sorry. There's no other way around it. We can't tiptoe around the truth of the scripture. But it has to be scripture, not your opinion. Not your ideas or your own thoughts, but actually using scripture and going, wait a second. So Paul offends the people he's talking to. But not offensive to be offensive's sake, but to actually use the scripture and say, hey, this is what's actually going on. There are a lot of people who reason with the scripture and use it simply just to offend people and get their own way. There are a lot of people who aren't religious that say, hey, churches are bigoted and churches are, they don't think about people they actually really don't love. They just want to make people feel bad for themselves. They're not love, churches aren't loving, but I think that as we look at scripture and as we actually follow what scripture says, truth always wins out. And we're gonna actually talk about that next week, about the gift of truth. We're gonna, through the Christmas season, look at the five gifts of Christmas: the gift of truth, the gift of grace, the gift of God, the gift of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But when we have all those together, we can actually reason. We're not trying to stand on a soapbox and make people feel bad, but we actually just want to share what Christ is doing and reasoning through that in our own hearts. No matter the outcome, I love that. No matter the outcome, because they go away, right? He actually kind of offends them, and some believe and some don't, and they go away. And then at the very end of this whole thing, I love this. If you're still taking notes with me, this is the very last point. Is that when we're at the point of going, now what? The very last thing is, even into retirement or wondering what's going on, we just get to welcome. We just get to welcome people. So we've invited them, we've shared with them, we've reasoned with them, and now for the rest of our lives, we just get to welcome them in. Every time they have a question, every time they are going through their own hurts or their own pains or their own struggles, or even the fact that we get to just enter into joyous life with them, we get to tell them, hey, we love you no matter what. I love it in verse 30 through 31. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, and boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus, and no one tried to stop him. I wonder what it would look like if the people that we've talked to, that we've invited, that we've shared, and that we've reasoned with, if that the rest of our life, maybe they never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but the rest of our lives, that we were completely welcoming people. That we were completely allowing them to be in the process of knowing God more and more, and that the whole entire time we just kept on proclaiming the kingdom of God and kept on walking them, kept on loving them. It's not a one and done. It's a continual process over and over again. And I wonder that if we continue to invite people and share with people and reason with people and welcomed with people, if nobody would try to stop us, because they would see that we're living out our obligation of love towards one another. And it's not because of our own thing, but it's because we're compelled by Romans chapter 5, that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That we don't have any condemnation. That we have a relationship with a God that holds up Mars and knows 7.2 billion people by name. Try to allow people to stop us when we are compelled by that. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and as we sing our last few songs, I want you to think about this. Our last two songs are actually about giving God all the glory and telling him how great he is. But I also, in that midst, go, okay, God, then how do I share that greatness with other people? I want you to spend the time, and I want you to write on the back of your bulletin or on your note page or something. I want you to write on, and I'm not even going to ask for five. I'm going to ask for one, that you would invite one person. That you would invite one person this week to enter into your life. And that you would pray that God would give you the boldness enough to share what he's doing in your life. And then that you would pray that God, if there's any other questions, that you would give me the ability to reason with them. And no matter the outcome, God, I pray that you would allow me to welcome them in always. Just one. So as we sing these songs, I start out with that prayer. Let's pray. Hey God, as we worship, would you place a person on each and every person's heart to invite this week into their life? Some way, somehow, just to find an hour or a night or something, that God, but that, man, that you would put that person so hard on our hearts that it is louder than our worship, so that we would write it and that we would follow through and that we would share, that we would reason, and that we would continue to welcome over and over again. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
To him who reigns upon the throne, to the Lamb, the true and faithful King, who created everything, to the glorious Son of God and Son of Man, gave his body and his blood to take away the sins of all the world. All creation
before.
last one, we got Ryan doing the lead vocals on this song, just about the greatness of God.
Great are you, Lord.
Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. Love you guys. Have a good rest of the day.